Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.
Say big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew to stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Say big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Brennan.
I had asked you yesterday if your opinions regarding the wounds on Mr. O'Keefe's arm changed between when you testified last year and then the more recent hearings that we've had over the past 4 or 5 months. Do you remember that question?
Yes.
And when I asked you that question, I asked if you had help with your report, and you told us that there was a woman who helped you with your report?
I told you that there was someone who helped me or made suggestions in organizing the report, having certain sentences placed in certain categories.
When I asked you about the identity, the person who actually helped you, I asked you if it was one of the attorneys, and you had said no?
That is correct.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you. You had testified in December 22nd, 2024 in this case?
I believe it was that date, yes.
And when you testified back in December of 2024, do you remember I asked you who it was that had assisted you with your report?
I don't remember that specifically.
Well, I'm going to show you a page from the testimony. This is from the hearing. And I asked you, line 21, page 207, did anybody help you write this report? And what did you say?
I wrote the report.
If you could finish, please.
I had some help with some minor edits, rearranging, you know, some paragraphs or whatsoever, but putting things in the right category.
Then I said, okay. And you answered?
No, I wrote the report.
And then finally I asked, who helped you with the report? What did you tell us?
I said, Mr. Lessie.
And Mr. Lessie, is that gentleman the man who, the attorney who asked questions on direct examination?
Yes.
Okay. And so, did Mr. Lessie help you with your report?
What I recall is we discussed the report, but I recall that it was someone else that actually helped me rearrange the report. That's my memory right now.
Is your memory different now than it was last December?
Well, I don't think so, but, you know, you have something in writing.
Do you think you would have testified to that if it was inaccurate?
Mr. Alessi did not help write the report. He may have helped organize and make a suggestion about what is training versus what is experience, but he did not help me write the report.
Did you have any help trying to describe methodology?
No.
You had any help talking about differential diagnosis?
No, I'm very familiar with differential diagnosis.
And so after that report was written, is there any reason why some of your opinions have changed?
I don't believe my opinions have changed.
When you testified at the hearing last year, June 21st, 2024, did you express that you couldn't say with 100% certainty what type of animal, in your opinion, caused those wounds?
100% certainty? That is absolutely correct. And I'd like to see that, but yes, I that's my recollection.
If it's your recollection, I'm happy to show you what
yes,
you
please.
Testified to. You want to
yes.
see it again?
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, between last night and today, did you get any advice from anybody suggesting you should ask for a transcript when I ask you a question? Did that advice come your way?
That's my general advice from previous times.
Well, did you have any advice last night about that?
Yes.
Who told you last night that you should always ask for a transcript when I'm asking you questions?
I think it was Mr. Alessi.
So did you and Mr. Alessi, you know there's a sequestration order, don't you?
Yes.
A sequestration order that you're not supposed to discuss the case at all with anybody?
Well, we didn't discuss specifics.
Do you know that the sequestration order mandates that you not discuss anything about the case from when you start your testimony until you end your testimony? You know that, right?
I understand that there is a sequestration order.
Do you understand the sequestration order mandates that you're not supposed to speak to people, including the attorneys, about this case overnight? Did you understand that?
There were no specifics discussed.
Well, did you understand that you weren't supposed to, is what I'm asking. Did you know that's a violation of the sequestration
no,
order
I did not.
To speak to the attorneys overnight?
I did not know that that was that particular conversation would be a violation.
So did you meet with Attorney Alessi last night?
No.
How was it that you had a conversation with him?
Actually, it might have been in the vehicle.
You drove together?
Yes.
So did you commute to and from court together with Attorney Alessi?
There's a driver.
Okay. Who else was in the car when you left court yesterday?
The driver. I wasn't with him yesterday, no. Not in the car yesterday, no.
Well, you just said that you spoke to Attorney Alessi yesterday. And I'm trying to figure out, when was it that you were having conversations with Mr. Alessi relative to the sequestration order that you're under?
This morning, riding to court.
Okay, so you and Attorney Alessi drove to court?
With the limo driver, yes.
Well, who was in the limo with you and Attorney Alessi on the way to court today?
Just us.
Just you two?
Yeah.
What else did you both talk about other than that you should ask for a transcript every time I ask you a question?
That's what we talked about specific to this case.
Was it a long conversation?
No, not at all.
The entire ride here, there must be more you spoke about other than just the sequestration order.
We did. We spoke about Boston, how I love Boston area. We spoke about New York. We spoke about other things. And in fact, I have to say that even on the ride back to the hotel yesterday with others in the car, nobody spoke about the case.
But I'm talking about this morning when you did speak about the case. What else? Not about the Red Sox or the weather. What else did you talk to Attorney Alessi about this morning other than you should ask for a transcript every time I ask you a question?
We talked about what I did last night.
About this case?
No.
I'm asking about this case.
That was it.
I want to know what all the discussions were between you and this attorney today or last night about this case.
Just that I should ask for a transcript.
Well, there must have been some concept. There must have been some context. He didn't just turn to you talking about the weather and say, hey, you should ask for a transcript. You must have been talking about something.
He generally says, be honest. Always be honest.
Fantastic. But this morning, about your testimony, what did he tell you? Did he tell you this morning you should be honest?
Not this morning.
Okay. Does anybody need to remind you to be honest when you testify?
No.
Okay. What else did he tell? How did it come up? Hey, by the way, ask for transcripts.
I don't even know how it came up. I didn't put much significance to it.
Well, it was just moments ago it happened because you just got to court. You can't remember the context of the sage advice of Attorney Alessi?
No.
Do you have any memory issues?
Ah, no.
May I approach?
Yes.
Since you've asked for the transcript, I have it for you. Dr. Russell, this is June 21st, 2024. I had asked you whether you expressed that you couldn't say with 100% certainty. You agreed with my answer, so there's no need to try to refresh your memory, but we're going to show it to you because you asked. We can take a look at line 16. Is that now consistent with the questions I asked you and the answer that you gave, that you were less than 100%? You couldn't be 100% certain.
That looks consistent.
Do you want more time with the transcript?
No.
Has anybody else talked to you about your testimony today overnight, Dr. Russell?
No.
When you testified last year, same transcript that we just looked at, do you remember when you gave your opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, you said that you thought the wounds were from an animal, possibly a large dog?
On that same date?
Yes.
May I see the transcript?
Of course. Pursuant to Attorney Alessi's advice, let me approach.
I'm going to strike that. Disregard that, James.
May I approach?
Yes. What page are you on, Mr.?
23. June 21st, 2024, Doctor?
June 21st.
Page 23. Line 14, when you ask the question based on everything we've discussed today, is it your opinion based on a reasonable degree of medical certainty these injuries were from an animal attack, possibly a large dog? What did you say?
I said yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have that back.
Yes, you
may. Okay, thank you. When you gave your opinion, not this year, last year, you agreed when you were assessing the wound, you used the word, or adopted the word, possibly, didn't you?
Explain the context of it?
Sure.
That sentence?
Sure. Go right ahead.
No, you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Please rephrase the question.
When you were asked about your opinion last year, not this year, last year, about whether to a reasonable degree of medical certainty the injuries were from an animal attack, possibly a large dog, you agreed with that characterization. A large animal, possibly a dog, didn't you?
An animal, possibly a large dog, last year, yes.
When you were on direct examination, there were tons of questions about this word methodology. Do you remember all those questions you were asked?
In June?
Yesterday,
okay, yes.
Yes, and when you were asked about methodology, was that an attempt to try to explain that you weren't just looking at an abrasion and guessing or eyeballing it, you were trying to suggest some type of scientific or medical process to give some type of certainty to your opinion?
That is the process I used.
When you talked about methodology yesterday, you talked about your experience in methodology with knife wounds and gunshot wounds, correct?
Yes.
But there was no methodology whatsoever regarding looking at a photograph and then identifying whether that is consistent with dog bites, is it?
I disagree.
When you describe methodology, you were asked by Attorney Alessi whether or not you engaged in that methodology regarding dog bites. Did you agree that there is really no methodology regarding dog bites?
I disagree.
When you use the word methodology regarding dog bites, there isn't something specific you are looking at as if you were looking at a fingerprint. There are points of comparison. You don't do that, do you?
There are no specific points that one that are published by a organization, for instance, on how to determine something is a dog bite. However, I did use different methodologies, including what we talked about. The differential diagnosis, the pattern recognition. Pattern recognition, again, is so important in medicine. It's what pathologists use to diagnose tumors.
There is no standard. There is no recognized standard anywhere for methodology on how to identify a dog bite wound, is there?
There is no published standard from an organization that I am aware of.
There is no source, there is no recognized community, there's no certification, there is no recognized method in identifying a superficial abrasion as a dog bite. Isn't that fair to say?
As in many conditions in the medical field, there are no certifications.
How about published standards? Is there any published standards whatsoever, any, regarding claims that a superficial abrasion is a dog bite? Are there any published standards by any organization?
No, but there would have to be thousands of published standards to identify the causes of the thousands of different types of abrasions. So no, there's no published standards.
No published standards. There is nowhere you can point to where the so-called methodology that you are telling the jury yesterday is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community. You can't point to anywhere, can you?
There are peer review articles which list recommendations on how to determine something is from a, some wounds are from a dog. These are peer review articles written by, you know, esteemed physicians that have analyzed dog bites and have published these and have published an approach to identifying, particularly a forensic approach to identifying dog bites.
Let me ask you the question again, Dr. Russell. Can you point to one place where there is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community for identifying dog bites? One article, one journal, one book. Can you point to any?
Well, I'm going to mention the one articles I mentioned earlier. The article with the lead author of Dr. DeMunich, and the article with the lead author of Dr. Pollack. And although they're not standards, they are recommendations.
I'm going to ask you the question one more time before I approach. Can you point to one place, one, where there is a readily accepted standard in the dog bite community for identifying dog bites?
No.
And so with no readily accepted standards in the dog bite community, no defined methodology, when you look at a photo like you do of John O'Keefe's arm, you're just eyeballing it based on your personal experience with dog bites rather than relying on some type of scientific foundation that has been published and accepted in the community.
I'm going to allow that.
Isn't that fair to say, Dr. Russell?
No, absolutely not. There are many, many conditions in medicine where there are no standards developed, and yet doctors make, nurse practitioners and the like, make diagnoses all the time on these various medical conditions. And more importantly, they treat them because they require treatment. There are not published standards on every single of the 10,000 or more medical conditions that exist, including dog bites.
I'm not talking about a stuffy nose or a broken leg. We're talking about dog bites here. So let's focus on dog bites, if you would, if you can indulge me, doctor. Regarding dog bites, since there is no standard practice, there is no accepted methodology, and since there is no accepted and approved guidelines, you are essentially simply looking at a picture, a photograph, and just using your past experience with treating dog bites as the basis for your opinion. Isn't that fair to say?
I don't think so. I'm using my past experience, my strong interest in dog bites over 30 years, and the and the articles that I read, the numerous articles I read, but the articles that have recommendations. I'm using all of that combined to come up with a methodology for determining that those are the result of a dog.
Well, you say coming up with a methodology. Are you saying that you're creating your own methodology, that you're the person who has the standard and nobody else? Is that your position, Dr. Russell?
No, I the phrasing was not good there. I use standard methodology of pattern recognition and differential diagnosis.
There is no standard in the medical community relative to differential diagnosis and pattern recognition as it relates to dog bites, not other areas of medicine, dog bites. There is no accepted methodology, is there?
That's true.
You mentioned that you have this strong interest in dog bites. Let me borrow a phrase. Do you think you had any confirmation bias when you got into this case?
I don't think so.
Well, you definitely want to be in this case. You weren't sought out, you sought the case.
That is incorrect.
And you said you had a strong interest in dogs, and that is one of the reasons you wanted to get involved in this case. Isn't that fair to say?
No, that's actually an unfair statement. I did not want to get involved. I wanted to offer my my knowledge and experience to help clarify issues. I did not want to become an expert witness in this case. And I used, again, as I do on just about every medical condition that I look at and every wound that I look at, I do a differential diagnosis. What else could this be? What else could cause these scratches and abrasions and wounds? What else before I come to my conclusion?
On your ride over here today, were you instructed that when I ask a question, rather than answer it, give a long explanation about something else?
No.
I would like to put up an exhibit of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, and I want to ask you some questions about it. You and I have had many conversations about Mr. O'Keefe's superficial scratches before, haven't we?
Yes.
And would you agree, looking at these, they are superficial abrasions? Do you agree with that characterization?
Yes.
When we last spoke, just for background, to remind ourselves, we broke these into separate parts so we could discuss them by number, just for the sense of clarity. And we discussed this as wound number one. Do you remember that?
Grouping number one, yes.
Number two?
Yes.
Number three?
Yes.
Four?
Yes.
Five.
Four, five, six, maybe.
Okay. So as we go through, I'm going to identify them by number. That wasn't done by anybody else. It was just during our discussion so we can have clarity. Is that
okay?
Fair?
Sustained.
Is it fair if I refer to this as one, two, three, four, five, six?
I think so.
Okay. When you testified on June 18th of 2024, last year, when you came in, you were asked questions before the actual hearing. You were asked questions about this particular superficial abrasion, weren't you?
I'd have to see the transcript. I believe so, but I'd have to see the transcript.
Do you remember when you were first giving opinion testimony about this specific abrasion, wound number one? Do you remember you saying that you thought it was either teeth or nails?
I'd have to see the transcript again.
I will give you the transcript, and as I'm doing that, let me ask you, do you remember your testimony about what you actually said?
So, do you remember your testimony?
For each specific day, no. I remember generally, but not for each specific day.
If you
I've
have
been here
opinion,
many times.
I'm going to bring your transcript up to remind you, but if you have an opinion, it shouldn't change, right? It should always be the same?
Generally, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you before we talk about what you said at the beginning. What is this from? Teeth or nails?
It could be either, but I think this from teeth.
So when you say it could be either, if you have a methodology and you have a certain standard where you can identify something based on a standard, there wouldn't be so much uncertainty, would there? You'd be able to look at this, consider the methodology, and either come to an opinion whether it was teeth, nails, or something totally different, right?
You know, Mr. Brennan, perhaps I didn't explain earlier, but the nail of a dog tends to be cone-shaped, conical in shape, and very similar to the nails that the canine teeth of dogs. So the shape and the fact that they come to a point makes some wounds indistinguishable.
Are you saying that nails of a dog are so similar to the teeth that you can't tell the difference between them when you're looking at a wound?
I'm saying that they can cause similar looking abrasions.
Are you able, as the premier expert in the United States on dog bites, able to tell the difference between teeth and claw nails of an animal when you're looking at a wound?
Individually? Okay, that's a very interesting question. Sometimes it's difficult because they can have similar appearing wounds. So you have to look at the overall pattern in order to make some conclusions.
Well, when you first started testifying in this case, you never suggested you had to look at everything in totality. You were giving opinions regarding individual wounds. Isn't that fair to say?
No.
It wasn't until I began asking you questions and you had inconsistent answers that you've now changed from, rather than identifying individual wounds, now you're saying, I can't identify individual wounds, but I can tell you in totality.
I disagree with that. I believe that the very first time I testified, I mentioned that the overall pattern was important.
When you first testified, so today, before we get to your testimony, you're saying this could be either teeth or nails, but you think it's probably teeth.
Correct.
How probable? Do you think it's certainly teeth, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty? You're not sure? What is the value of your certainty or lack of certainty about what caused this wound?
Reasonable degree of medical certainty.
What is a reasonable degree of medical certainty? That what?
That those are caused by teeth.
Teeth. Okay. When you first testified, your position was it could have been teeth or nails. That is different than saying, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, teeth, isn't it?
No, there is a small possibility that they could be caused by nails.
When you first testified, you didn't qualify it as a small possibility, did you?
I perhaps wasn't asked.
Well, you answered. Remember when you were asked about it and you answered? You talked about that it was a pattern close to the shoulder with parallel marks. Do you remember?
Do I remember what?
Saying that this is a pattern close to the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
right? That they're superficial, you agree with that still?
Yes.
And did you say they were consistent with teeth and nail marks?
Yes.
Okay. Nails on a dog oftentimes, or most times, are horseshoe shaped, aren't they?
They're generally conical shape.
You don't think that nails on a dog in your studies have a horseshoe shape?
I think it depends on the grooming of the dog and if the nails were cut recently. But in general, they come to a point. They're at the, you know, at the end of the paw. They come to a point. And by the way, the paws can open and close. So the distance between the nails can vary depending on how that claw impacts the skin. So in many ways, they resemble the overall shape of canine teeth.
And so to get back to my question here, you're saying that this could have been caused by dog nails?
It's possible.
Do you know, or do you think that the teeth in a dog are different shapes and sizes?
Oh, yes. Depending on the tooth, there's different shapes and sizes. Absolutely.
When you testified the first time and you said that you thought it was teeth or nails, do you remember testifying a couple days later in front of a group of people and you again iterated that this could be teeth or claw marks? That was your testimony last year. Teeth or claw marks, right?
You were not to object to the characterization of that prior proceeding.
So just prior proceeding, folks, that's all that you
did. You testify at that prior proceeding last summer that this could have been teeth or claw marks?
I would need to see the transcript.
When you first testified on June 18th, doctor, you were asked questions trying to identify what you thought that wound was. And this is your June 18, 2024 testimony on page 37, line 7, the questions begin. And you were asked,
what you thought they were. You can be any part you want, but line 7 might be a starting point.
Yes, I said that, which are consistent with teeth marks. They also could be possibly consistent with nail marks.
Dr. Russell, I'm just going to ask you to keep your voice up.
Okay.
That was your first testimony last year, yes?
Yes.
And then did you testify a couple days later and again repeated the same opinion, teeth or nail marks?
May I see it?
I'm asking if you remember.
Yes, I remember testifying.
Do you remember after you worked on your report and submitted your report?
Yes.
After your consultations, do you remember changing that opinion regarding number one? Do you remember changing that opinion?
No.
Do you remember changing from either teeth or possibly claw marks to being very specific, claiming that it was definitely teeth marks?
No.
Are there different types of teeth in a dog?
Yes.
Okay. The pointy teeth, the big ones, those are called canines?
Correct.
And the smaller ones are incisors?
Correct.
There are 6 incisors in a healthy dog on the top and bottom between the canines?
Correct.
Okay. Did you, when you testified subsequently to the original proceedings, did you change your opinion from teeth or claw marks to specifically teeth, and even more specifically, canines?
Do you have a transcript?
I do, but I'm going to ask you the question. Do you remember changing your testimony from teeth or nails to being very certain that it was canines, not just teeth, canines that caused that wound?
I became more certain, yes.
You had never said that the canines caused these wounds before you filed the report, ever, did you?
I may not have, that's true.
And so after you did the report, you shifted from teeth and nails to canines. Do you remember that?
I don't think it's a shift.
No one would ever refer to a dog's nails as canines, would they?
No, I don't think so.
That would be inaccurate, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would be a mistaken use of the word.
I believe so.
When you testified December of 2024, you didn't say nails could have caused this wound. You didn't say generally teeth, you said canines.
I believe that, and that's true, I believe that canine teeth caused that wound.
Did you have any new information about photographs that would help you change your opinion from teeth and nails to canines?
Well, I had been challenged. I had testified several times. I reviewed the case several times and challenged, and each time I reviewed the case, I became more certain that these were from canine teeth. So, and actually, there's other marks there, but these are from teeth.
You say more certain. You had never said canines before, ever, until that recent hearing. Isn't that true?
I said teeth.
Canines.
It doesn't matter. I said teeth. Canines are some of the teeth.
Upper or lower canines?
Upper.
And if it's upper canines, you testified previously that the point of entry would be here at the bottom and the dog would pull this way. That's what you testified to. Yes?
No, I believe you misunderstood then. The point of entry is up there. The first initial point of contact is there, and the dog pulled this way, or Mr. O'Keefe pulled his arm the opposite way.
Dr. Russell, you don't recall that you said that the bigger circles are the point of entry, the dog pulled this way, and then I asked you how could a dog pull this way when the arc is like this? The dog's mouth would have to be in backwards. Remember that conversation we had?
Objection, Your Honor.
Do you remember that conversation? You said that the point of entry would be the bigger
circle, pulled this way, and then I questioned, how could a dog's arc look like this if the teeth went that way?
No, I don't recall that at all.
Remember that conversation we had? Okay. And so, inevitably, when you look at this part of the wound alone, have you expressed an opinion that you are unable, on its own, to be able to tell whether this was caused by a dog?
Which part of the wound?
Taking any of these alone, let's start with number one, having to express an opinion that taking this alone, you would not be able to say that was from a dog bite.
That is correct. In and of themselves, they're not that specific or characteristic. However, as a group, they are highly characteristic of a dog injury.
Mr. O'Keefe's arm only had this wound and nothing else, by virtue of what you're telling us, you would not be able to offer an opinion that this was consistent with a dog bite.
That very first wound up there, closest, I agree. Yeah.
In fact, you've testified about this very issue before. If this was the only wound on Mr. O'Keefe, number two, you would not be able to say that the injury is consistent with a dog bite.
Correct.
And then I go through all of these just so we're clear. Same thing with number three. You've provided opinions on this before. If you look at this wound alone, in isolation, you would not be able to say that it came from a dog bite.
Correct.
Four. Mm-hmm. Same. Looking at the wound alone, you would not be able to say it came from a dog bite.
Correct.
Same for five and same for six.
Correct.
Now, when you testified before your recent testimony, you never had that qualification. When you came into court, you were saying that when you looked at these wounds individually, you were saying that you could identify it as a dog bite.
I disagree with that characterization.
Number two, what caused this wound, Dr. Russell?
Number two, I believe that was dog bite or scratch, but mostly I believe dog bite. And because there's a punctate, little tiny pinpoint almost, lesion there and there, which could represent bottom teeth.
Okay. So you're using words like could, and we're talking about a reasonable degree of medical certainty. So when you look at this wound here, you said that you are sure or not sure what caused this wound.
I'm saying that individually, that wound, that's correct. I'm not sure individually what that wound was caused by. However, again, as I mentioned earlier, the overall pattern of wounds is what I am convinced of.
I want to go through each of these wounds separately so we understand what you actually recognize with your methodology and what you don't. So looking at wound number two, based on whatever methodology you've been using, are there any signs, indicators, objective criteria you can look at and tell us this is or is not a dog bite based on this methodology you have?
There are some characteristics that are suggestive of a dog bite or dog a claw, including the fact that there are parallel lesions, and many of these overall, by the way, parallel lesions are in the same general direction. So there are parallel lesions, and here they're associated with some punctate or point-like other abrasions right here. So they're consistent with being inflicted by a dog.
I appreciate you using some medical terms to describe this, but my question is more pointed. Is there anything about your methodology, something that stands out about these wounds, that you can say to a reasonable degree of medical certainty that these are consistent with a dog either biting or scratching?
These wounds all by themselves, not to a medical degree of certainty, no.
You said on this first wound, you thought this was from the canines. Those are the big upper teeth is what you're planning, right?
Yes.
And you're saying today anyways, starts here at the bladder and goes up. Is that your position today?
That's not what I said. I said the exact opposite.
So it starts here and comes down?
Correct.
Okay. And these two scratches, they're linear just like these are linear, aren't they?
Yes.
But you have a problem with these because if these are the canines, you see the spacing there?
This is nowhere close, is it?
I didn't say that these were caused by canines. And spacing also, there's reasons why the spacing can be different.
Well, we can talk about that in a second. Are you suggesting that these exact, well, not exact, these two linear abrasions, just like one and two, are you suggesting the canines cause these?
I don't know what caused those, which teeth caused those, or which nails caused those.
When you testified last year on June 18th, you said that this is either teeth or claws. Can you give us any development of your opinions, whether or not you think that is teeth or claws?
Excuse me? No, well, I couldn't hear through the fan.
When you testified on June 18th, you said wound number two, the top two linear abrasions, you believe were either teeth or claws. You share with us now you have improved your study and have new opinions. Do you have a clear opinion whether this is teeth or claws? Do you have an opinion whether this is teeth or claws or not something totally different than a dog?
I believe they are teeth or claws caused.
When you testified at trial and in that hearing that they were teeth or claws, you changed that opinion as well at the most recent hearings, didn't you?
Mr. Brennan, worded differently.
Sorry?
Worded differently.
Okay. Did you testify at a more recent hearing that teeth made these, not teeth or claws, but teeth?
I may have, and I would like to see that.
May I approach?
Can you hold one second? Could you please turn the fan off? Jerry, is it okay if we turn it on so you can hear that?
From your December hearing, page 100, line 5, when you were asked about that second wound in December, and I asked whether you changed your opinion from teeth or claws to just teeth, weren't you asked specifically about that on page 100, line 5?
Yes. But may I read it?
Sure, I'll read it with you.
Okay. I said, I'm not sure on the second set. So this is the set just above the elbow.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what teeth made these. They could, one of them could, you know, one set of these could be canine, one part of this, and then adjacent incisor tooth. But I'm not sure on the second set, so this is the set just above the elbow.
Yeah, I think the first part of that paragraph is talking about the first set.
Yes.
Up there close to the shoulder. And then this the sentence, but I'm not sure on the second set, so this is the set that's just above the elbow. I said I'm not sure.
And then, sorry, I'm
okay.
Are you done?
Oh. Actually, I did make another comment. What is it? So, however, what is interesting and certain is that there's an upper set and a lower set. So this mark was an upper tooth. This is a lower tooth. What I was referring to is this mark here and that mark, and then this mark here and this mark here. So it appears that this is from upper and these are from lower. That's what I was referring to.
And so when you first described this wound as teeth or claws, at the most recent hearing, you had a certain opinion that this was teeth, didn't you?
Yes, I was leaning towards teeth, correct.
Well, it didn't seem like you were leaning. You said these were from the upper teeth. You said it matter-of-factly, not with any qualification. Your claim at the last hearing is this was from teeth.
That's what I believed.
And today you're saying you don't know if these were teeth or claws.
Not with 100% certainty.
You didn't qualify 100% certainty. You were asked your opinion, Dr. Russell. You were asked, what do you think? And you didn't say without 100% certainty. Your claim, the first time you testified, teeth or claws,
Recently, you said teeth, and now you're saying you're not sure.
No, I'm saying I believe that those marks are from teeth, but I'm not 100% certain.
Suffice to say, looking at wound two alone, you cannot say this was caused by a dog.
In and of itself, no.
What tooth do you think caused this wound?
I don't know.
Do you think this in any way could be caused by dog teeth if you're claiming that this is dog teeth?
Excuse me?
Do you think there's any way these two could be caused by dog teeth if you're saying that these two were caused by dog teeth?
Yes, could be, but I don't know which teeth. And I don't know the extent of the bite, how much impact there was, and how much pressure, you know, how much contact there was between the teeth and the skin.
The canines are the longer teeth in a dog's mouth, aren't they?
They are.
And when a dog bites, it's very common for the canines to puncture, isn't it?
It's common if there's enough force, and it's common that you might have two canines if the strike is perpendicular to the skin. But if you have a tangential strike, you know, a partial strike where only part of the teeth impact, you'll get different configurations.
Look at the space in Dr. Russell.
Did you say strike or strike?
Strike with a K.
Look at the spacing, Dr. Russell.
Mm-hmm.
A dog causing these wounds, the canines are not going to have such a dramatic distance between them because dog canines don't move, do they?
They don't, and I'm not claiming that these two parallel stripes in this case, abrasions here, I'm not claiming that those two were caused by canines.
You think a dog is going to leave a wound with linear abrasions using its incisors as opposed to its canines? Is that your opinion?
It's possible if that's the only part of the mouth or the jaw that actually touched the skin, if it didn't go back as far as the canines.
Did you ever look at the underside of Mr. O'Keefe's arm?
The posterior side? Excuse me. Pictures? Yes.
Okay. And when you looked at the photographs of the posterior side of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, did you find anything conspicuously absent from underneath his arm?
Well, first of all, let me clarify. Part of this is the posterior aspect mm-hmm. of the arm. So are you asking me, did I look at the underside of the arm, the fleshy part
exactly
of the arm?
That's exactly what I'm asking. It's a question I've asked before. When you look at the other side of Mr. O'Keefe's arm, did you notice anything conspicuously absent?
Yes, there's an absence of wounds.
When a dog bites, I don't care if it's a law enforcement dog or a domestic dog, you know it's like a lever, a dog's mouth, isn't it?
It can be if both jaws strike the skin. However, there are cases, there are many times when only the upper jaw strikes the skin.
The lower jaw is a lever, locks, and that's part of the clamping and pulling process of a dog, whether it's a law enforcement dog or a domestic dog. You know that, don't you?
I know that they are attached.
Your claim is that there's many, many different dog bites on Mr. O'Keefe's arm. Are you suggesting, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, that these are a number of different dog strikes, and coincidentally, every single one of them lacks any wound to the underside of his arm?
Yes.
Your claim is that a dog penetrated the sweater on the top, but the lower jaw did not leave any wounds?
I'm claiming that that's not what I'm claiming. No. As I mentioned earlier, these could be from lower jaw. Those right there.
You're saying could be?
Could be.
That's speculation. We're asking you for your medical opinions. Your medical opinions. Do you have any evidence that the dog's lower jaw, you said maybe upper, maybe, that the lower jaw, even just once in this whole event, penetrated Mr. O'Keefe's skin?
No, nothing penetrated the skin. There was no actual penetration of the skin. These are abrasions. But I believe that these small marks right here, punctate marks, may be the result of lower jaw impact.
Rather than deal in speculation and maybes, can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether or not this was caused by a tooth?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm going to strike the first part. Why don't you ask the other part?
Can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether this superficial abrasion, put that back up, please, was caused by a dog?
In and of itself, that part only, no.
Can you tell us anywhere on Mr. O'Keefe's arm to a reasonable degree of medical certainty where the lower jaw impacted Mr. O'Keefe to leave even a scratch?
Not with a reasonable degree of medical certainty on individual wounds.
And not just individual wounds, I'm talking specifically the lower jaw. Can you point to one wound, one abrasion on that arm where you can say to a reasonable degree of medical certainty the lower jaw caused any of those abrasions?
I believe there are several areas where there's impact from the lower jaw. However, I cannot say with reasonable degree of medical certainty that part only.
Let's look at number three to move along. When you first talked about these wounds again, is it fair to say that you described that it could have either been teeth or claw?
I'd have to see it.
Okay, I'll bring it to you. You don't remember that testimony?
I remember, again, I've been here many times, so I want to be
Well, you
specific.
Have the opinion today, I'm getting the transcript for you, Dr. Russell.
Thank you.
You have the opinion today that this was that those were either teeth or claws?
Yes.
What's your opinion today?
Well, I think that most likely they are from teeth marks.
Well, rather than most likely, we deal with reasonable degree of medical certainty. For a reasonable degree of medical certainty, can you give us an opinion regarding the cause of those marks?
So I'll strike the comment.
Can you tell us to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these wounds were caused by teeth or claws?
Individually, no.
Did you ever change your mind about the source of these abrasions?
Can you be more specific?
Did you ever claim that any of these abrasions were from upper or lower teeth?
I don't recall changing my mind.
You don't recall if you've ever said that? Let's separate these bottom wounds. Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these were caused by teeth or claws?
I have an opinion.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
No.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty whether these were caused by either a dog teeth or dog claws?
I have an opinion.
To a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
Individually, no.
The one near the wrist, you had testified yesterday, there's lines and what you believe to be an arc, correct?
Yes, they have a general overall appearance of an arc.
If there is an arc and there's two linear abrasions on the outside borders, wouldn't these necessarily have to be the outside borders from canine teeth?
Not necessarily.
They are longer than the middle ones, aren't they?
The abrasions are, but doesn't mean the teeth are.
If this was an arc, like you claimed, you think different teeth other than the canines could have caused the outside scratches?
It's possible.
And you do note the distance between the top and bottom of those wounds compared to the distance in number two and the distance in number one?
I see the difference, yes.
And you have to concede, Dr. Russell, that the same set of teeth, the same canines, could not reasonably have caused this wound, and this wound, given the distance between the inside and outside.
First of all, I'm not certain that these are all canines, as I mentioned earlier. Secondly, You have to take into account that skin is elastic. It bends, it depresses. So you could have two prongs, for instance, of a pitchfork, for instance, just as an example, impact the skin in different places, and the measurement between the two can be slightly different depending on the elasticity of the skin and the underlying structures.
This is not a slight difference, Dr. Russell, is it?
Again,
objection, Your Honor.
So there was a question with that, so I'm going to let that in.
Again, Dr. Russell, the distance here, it's not insignificant, is it?
Mr. Brennan, I already mentioned that I did not think that these were caused by two canine teeth.
And these, the distance between these two, have you measured them?
I approximated them, yes.
Visually,
and I can see that there's a difference.
What was your measurement for this one?
I think about 4 centimeters, and this was a little bit more.
Did you note that in the report? Did you actually take out a ruler, measure them, and document them as you studied these wounds? Did you go through that process during your methodology?
No, because this is an image, and there's no scale in this image as to how far away different points are. So my own measurement would not be accurate because there's no scale in the picture.
Why did you go through the process of measuring them if you're now saying that it's inaccurate after I asked you if you memorialized it? Why would you even do it if you're now saying it was inaccurate?
It was an approximate measurement in my mind.
In your mind?
Yeah.
Okay, but you never put it on a piece of paper or report, notes?
That's correct.
Why would you even go through the process if you're looking at it and your explanation is it's only a photo, I wouldn't be able to tell? Why would you even try to?
I think probably everybody in this room has already done the same thing.
And if anybody in this room did the same thing, it would be quite obvious, Doctor, that the gaps between 1, 2, and 5 are dramatically different from each other, aren't they?
They are. However, I'm not saying the same exact teeth caused those marks.
When you testified yesterday, you used the term differential diagnosis. I want to ask you a lot of questions about differential diagnosis. Do you remember using that term?
Yes.
And differential diagnosis was really just a way for you to try to get your opinion to the jury that these injuries were not consistent with the car accident. That's what a fancy way of doing it is, right?
No, it was a method I used.
Differential diagnosis, you're claiming that you can say this is not from a car accident or a car collision. That's what you're trying to say, aren't you?
That was the result of my differential diagnosis and my pattern recognition methodologies.
If you're going to exclude a cause of the injury, in this case, a collision, you have to know a little bit about collisions, don't you?
Yes, I don't know how to answer that.
Well, try.
Can you be more specific?
If you're going to say that these superficial abrasions could not have been caused by a car collision, you kind of have to understand a little bit about the mechanics of a car collision, don't you?
Actually, I disagree. However, I've treated thousands of victims of motor vehicle accidents and have seen the wound patterns that they come into the emergency room with. And that forms a basis for me.
Do you really think?
I'm sorry.
Did you finish that answer, Doctor?
No.
Did I cut you off?
I believe so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, and the thousands of victims of motor vehicle accidents, I've looked at their wounds, I've treated their wounds, cleaned their wounds, touched their wounds, and that is what I use as a basis, part of my basis, to determine that these were not caused or not consistent with a motor vehicle accident.
When you first gave that opinion that it wasn't consistent with a motor vehicle accident, it's fair to say you didn't have a lot of information at that time when you first came in and said that, correct?
Specific to this case?
Yes. Yes.
I didn't have a lot of information. That's correct.
Okay. And so in order to rule out a collision causing these wounds, let me ask you, are you an accident reconstruction expert?
Reconstruction? No.
Did you ever go to any academy for training to receive any type of degree or certificates in car collisions?
Actually, I did receive a certificate in hit and run accident investigation from the Massachusetts Criminal Justice Training Council when I was a police officer.
Do you agree that what training you did have was rudimentary?
It probably was, yes.
Well, not probably. You've used that word before. Wouldn't you say that any training you have had has been rudimentary?
In terms of accident and
yes.
Investigation? Yes.
Have you ever testified as an expert anywhere in accident reconstruction?
No.
Do you know what ACTAR is?
ACTAR?
Yes.
No.
It's a certification group for collision specialists, accident reconstructionists. Is it fair to say that you're not ACTAR qualified?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to sustain your objection.
Are you ACTAR qualified?
No, and I don't know any physicians that are.
Have you ever gone to a scene of a car collision and done an investigation and written a report and reached a conclusion about the cause of the car collision and the injuries that were related to that car collision?
No, that's outside my scope.
It's beyond your expertise.
Beyond the expertise of a physician, yes.
Right. Yeah, yesterday you offered the jury your opinion that these wounds were not consistent with a car collision. Did you offer that opinion yesterday?
Wounds are in my area of expertise. So yes, I am very comfortable talking about wounds from a variety of sources, including motor vehicle accidents.
I'm sorry, I didn't want the siren to interrupt you.
Okay. Wounds are definitely within my area of expertise.
When you considered your opinion to this jury that this was not caused by a car collision, do you know what type of vehicle is in question?
Yes.
Have you ever studied the vehicle to look at the make, model, the height of different things like the bumper, perhaps the taillight? Have you ever studied that in this case?
I'm aware of some of those factors.
Have
yes.
you studied that before studied. You gave this opinion? Yes. Did you go and actually look at the photos, do any measurements before you came up with this opinion?
Not before I came up with the opinion, no.
Did you ever look at the damage to the rear taillight of the defendant's vehicle and see if it was in similar or the same height of Mr. O'Keefe if he was standing up? Did you ever do that?
I have looked at photographs.
And when you looked at the photos, did you see that a 6'1" man like Mr. O'Keefe, if he stood, his elbow would be the exact height of Ms. Reed's broken taillight? Did you notice that?
I noticed that there was a similar, you know, that the height would be similar to the height of the elbow and the taillight, yes.
Did you look at photographs of Ms. Reed's broken taillight and see if where the brake was corresponded closely or directly to the same height as Mr. O'Keefe's elbow and forearm?
I did.
And did you see that it matched up height-wise perfectly?
Close, yes.
You have really no, respectfully, comprehension about the details of the car collision in this case, do you?
I have some understanding of the allegations of a possible collision.
Do you know how slowly or fastly Ms. Lee's Lexus was traveling on January 29, 2022 at about 12:32 a.m., right around the time that you think these wounds happened?
I have some knowledge of the alleged speed at the time of the alleged collision.
Do you have any knowledge about the surroundings, the outside, whether the ground was soft or frozen?
I understand that there was snow on the ground.
How much snow do you understand was on the ground when Mr. O'Keefe's body first landed on that ground?
Several inches.
Where did you get the information that there were several inches of snow on the ground when Mr. O'Keefe landed?
You asked me when?
Where did you get that information from?
A report that I read.
Have you ever seen the videos or the reports that when Mr. O'Keefe was moved from the ground, there was grass and dirt under him?
Yes, I saw a picture.
Okay. Not 2 inches of snow. The ground, the cold, hard ground. Did you see anything that said that?
Yes, I saw an area of grass in the picture.
Have you ever looked at Mr. O'Keefe's pants to see if there was any dirt or grass stains on the back of them?
I've seen pictures.
Did you realize when you were forming your opinions about the source or the genesis or the cause of these abrasions, did you look at his pants and study whether or not he landed on snow or landed on the hard ground?
I did not see any evidence of grass on the pants.
Did you ever look, actually look at the pants?
I don't know if I looked at the pants.
So when you say you didn't see any evidence, are you saying you didn't look, or you looked and you didn't see anything?
I looked at pictures of the clothing that was available at the hospital.
Did you look at anything about the pants? Photographs, the actual pants themselves, did you look at them?
I looked at the pictures that were available at the hospital, of his clothing that was on the floor.
Were part of the photographs that were available for your review and your conclusions of differential diagnosis, was part of that evidence photographs of the back of his pants?
I don't recall.
If you're going to make an opinion about something outside your expertise, that this was not consistent with a collision, wouldn't you want to see as much information as possible?
So let's, we'll come to sidebars tomorrow.
Dr. Russell, before you gave your opinion to this jury, suggesting that Mr. O'Keefe's wounds on his arm were not caused by an impact with the motor vehicle, did you go to the scene of 34 Fairview and look around in the corner of the yard?
I did not need to.
Did you?
No.
Did you look at photographs to see if you could identify the land, the dirt, whether it was flat and smooth or whether it was bumpy, whether there was rocks or debris in that area?
Yes.
And you went there and looked at it?
No. You asked me if I looked at photographs.
And you looked at photographs. Did they show whether that ground had any bumps or divots or rocks?
It showed that there was a little bit of a hill in that area.
Could you tell from the photos, were they close enough so that you could see what the makeup of the ground was?
No, most of the ground was covered with snow.
Did you know that there were bushes right near the area where Mr. O'Keefe was found? Bushes with branches, did you know that?
Not very close, no.
Did you see the bushes in the photographs near where Mr. O'Keefe lay?
Right where he laid, no.
How about next to him on the left? Did you see those bushes?
There was some other stuff there in the photograph, but the photographs I looked at were not of excellent quality.
Do you have any understanding or information you can share with us the angle of Mr. O'Keefe's body at the time of any impact with a motor vehicle?
I don't see any medical evidence that there was impact with a vehicle.
Do you know Mr. O'Keefe had other injuries other than just the superficial abrasions on his arm?
Yes, but no significant injuries below the neck.
How about on the head? Was there a significant injury?
Oh, yes.
When you considered excluding car collision as a source of those wounds, did you consider in your history that you've seen, or have you seen, let me strike that, have you seen in your history multiple victims of a car collision where they were hit by the same car?
Probably, but I can't recall a specific case.
Would you agree with me if a car ran into a group of people and caused a number of injuries, those injuries to different people could vary wildly from one to another?
Yes.
Even if the car was going at the same speed and ran into a group of people, those injuries could be totally dissimilar from one another, couldn't they?
Yes.
Some person, unfortunately, could be killed if the car was going fast enough and hit them the right way. Yes?
Yes.
Another person could have a less severe injury, maybe a broken bone.
Yes.
Another person in the same exact collision could have scratches.
Yes.
In fact, there are cases, I'm sure you've studied, where people have been hit by cars, thrown airborne, and had no wounds on them at all. Have you seen that?
Could you repeat that?
Are there instances that you have considered where a person is hit by an automobile, actually thrown, removed from the ground, thrown in the air,
and gets up unscathed with no injury at all?
No significant injuries, correct.
So a car collision can cause wildly different injuries depending on many, many unpredictable factors. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
When a car or a vehicle is involved, have you ever been involved in treating patients that received injuries from broken plastic or broken glass in a car?
Yes, many times.
And when you've seen them, have those injuries differed on a person as far as cuts and abrasions from glass or broken plastic?
Yes.
When you were considering excluding car impact or collision as a source of Mr. O'Keefe's injuries, did you consider whether or not Mr. O'Keefe could have been struck on the side of the car in a clip type event rather than being run over?
Yes, I considered multiple scenarios.
Had you or do you agree that injuries from a side swipe or from a clip could be much, much different than a full rear or front impact being run over?
They could be.
Did you do any study in this case when you were thinking about excluding the car collision or impact as the source of Mr. O'Keefe's abrasions about what his body posture was, how he may have hit a motor vehicle? Did you consider that?
I considered several scenarios,
and
several different positions.
And when you considered that, what did you conclude as far as Mr. O'Keefe's body movement at the time of any potential impact?
Oh, first of all, I didn't see any medical evidence that there was an impact. There were no significant injuries from the neck down, no fractures, no bruise, internal injuries, lacerated organs, collections of fluid in the lung cavities, the abdominal cavity. No significant injuries from the neck down, and so yes, I used that and tried to put that in a scenario of his various positions. What could he have been standing, kneeling, sitting, lying down on the ground? I did all that.
You were a police officer before you went to medical school, weren't you?
Yes.
You had arrived at scenes of many, many car collisions, hadn't you?
Yes.
What is oftentimes left behind after a car collides with an object?
Debris.
Debris field, yes. Did you look at the debris field in this case?
No.
In the cases that you went to wherever you saw car collisions, some of the debris that you would find could be broken glass or broken plastic. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
And when you went to those scenes, you would often find broken glass or broken plastic in a debris field near where the victim was found or laying. Isn't that fair to say?
The debris field would be usually near the collision, if there was a collision impact.
And when you were considering excluding car impact or collision in this case, did you take a look at the entire debris field to determine how close or far it was from Mr. O'Keefe's body?
I couldn't tell.
Did you ask any questions? I'm sorry, please finish.
I couldn't tell from the photographs.
And before you came to your conclusions, did you ask anybody for any more information so that you could make a fair assessment of that information?
The injuries here were so characteristic that, and they were so parallel to one another that I couldn't even imagine pieces of glass or plastic or even metal lining up to cause those injuries, lining up in a certain fashion to cause those regular striations.
Rather than imagining, did you make any effort to actually seek information so you could identify and evaluate the debris field around Mr. O'Keefe's body that morning?
I did not.
Have you ever, as a police officer, looking into car collisions, ever hear the term knocked out of one's shoes?
Not as a police officer.
Have you ever heard of that as a medical expert?
I've heard of it as a civilian, yes. Not as a medical expert.
Can I have Exhibit 74B, please? In your study, before you gave an opinion excluding an impact or a collision as the cause of Mr. O'Keefe's abrasions on his arm, were you aware of this photograph where Mr. O'Keefe's sneaker was found on the side of the road?
I am aware that there was one shoe off, correct.
Were you aware that it was wedged right up against the curb? Were you aware of that?
I have been aware of that, yes.
And when you came to your conclusion that you offered that the injuries are not consistent with a impact or car collision, was this photograph part of your consideration?
No.
Could I have Exhibit 99D, please? In your study to give an ultimate opinion, will you suggest that a car collision or impact was not the source of Mr. O'Keefe's arm injuries? Were you aware of this photograph of Mr. O'Keefe's hat found at the bottom of the snow in the corner of that yard?
No.
Do you see underneath that hat there was not 2 inches of snow? It looks like dirt and grass?
Yes.
When you gave the opinion that he was on 2 inches of snow, would it be important to know whether or not he fell directly on the hard ground or on snow?
It could be important. However, it could be if the ground was frozen. If it wasn't frozen, it could matter a little bit.
Exhibit 73, please. When you were reaching your conclusions, you said you considered some of the debris fail. Did you see this photograph of a piece of taillight that matches the defendant's taillight of her SUV? Did you consider this piece of evidence that was found in the debris field?
Not specifically.
76A, please. Same question. Did you consider this piece of the debris field when you were coming to your conclusions that you offered us yesterday?
I considered that there would be several pieces of metal, plastic, or glass at the scene.
Did you consider this picture of plastic from the defendant's rear taillight found at that scene? Did you consider that before you gave your opinion to the jury?
No.
You can take that down, please. Would there be any significance in your study in the foundation of your opinion that a collision or impact did not cause Mr. O'Keefe's wounds on his arm? Was it important for you to determine whether or not the taillight to your defendant's Lexus was broken early that morning?
I think there needs to be more to the question.
Okay. When you were considering potential causes of injuries, did you know that the defendant's Lexus rear right taillight was broken in missing pieces?
Yes.
Was it important to time when that taillight was broken?
What do you mean by time?
You understand that Mr. O'Keefe was found on January 29th, 2022, yes?
Yes.
Early morning hours?
Yes.
When you were making your differential diagnosis, was it important for you to learn whether around that time the defendant's taillight was broken?
It was important to know. I still don't understand the question. I'm having a trouble understanding the question.
It's my fault. I'll try to ask it a different way. You were considering as much facts and information as you could to give a solid opinion in front of this jury,
mm-hmm.
weren't you?
Yes.
And you ultimately have offered an opinion that the wounds to Mr. O'Keefe's arm are not consistent with an impact or a collision with a vehicle. Yes?
That's correct.
You know the vehicle in question in this case is the defendant's vehicle, her Lexus.
Yes.
And you learned that her right rear taillight was broken in missing pieces. Yes?
Yes.
Did you want to know if there's any evidence depicting when that taillight was broken in considering this conclusion?
Yes.
Did you know that there was video from 5:07 a.m. showing that the defendant's taillight was missing pieces?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
Not at the time, but I expected that if there were a collision, that there would be pieces of the car, involved. So that didn't really make any difference.
Were you trying to rule out a collision between Mr. O'Keefe and Ms. Reed's vehicle did not cause these injuries? Did you want to seek that information about the broken taillight and date and time?
A broken taillight in and of itself could not cause those injuries. There would have to be multiple projections from the vehicle that were lined up in certain pattern to give those parallel marks all in the same direction. So, that's why a broken taillight could not have done that.
So you, in your investigation, you did not want to know when that taillight was broken?
Oh, I did, but it for information only.
Did you review the Ring video from 5:07 a.m. at Meadows Ave?
Later on. Not initially when I had the initial records, but later on I did.
Did you have that information before or after you arrived at your opinion?
Oh, after.
So you had already arrived at your opinion, then you received new information, which was that Ring video, correct?
And it confirms, yeah.
And then you received more information. Did you receive photographs from a dash cam during a wellness check showing the defendant's Lexus missing pieces of a right rear taillight at about 8:03 a.m. that morning?
Would that be, I'm not sure which video that is.
Well, it's not a video. If we could put up Exhibit 10. It actually was from a video. Did you look at this picture during your differential diagnosis?
I think I've seen that picture before. Vehicle parked, yes.
Exhibit 11, please. Did you consider this picture in your differential diagnosis?
I don't know that I ever saw this picture.
Seeing this picture, do you see that the right rear taillight is missing pieces?
I can't even see that. Oh, yes, I do see that. But again, these pieces would have to be lined up in a certain configuration in order to cause those wounds.
So seeing this photograph now for the first time, it doesn't in any way shape or change your opinion, does it?
No.
You had, as a police officer, when you're excluding the source, in this case you're saying the cause of Mr. O'Keefe's scratches on his arm could not have been from a collision. Do you listen to witness testimony, or do you review witness statements?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that. Do you do that?
As a police officer, in investigating a car accident, is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
Did I take witness statements?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And do you value the statements as part of your analysis?
I give varying values depending on what I believe to be the veracity of the witness.
Have you listened to the statements of the defendant herself in this case regarding potential impact?
No, what do you mean?
Well, have you seen any statements made by the defendant to any media about potential impact or collision in this case?
Oh, are you referring to what you've asked me previously about did I hit him or something of that? What do you mean specifically?
Have you seen any of the media statements by the defendant, 2020, Nightline, docuseries? Have you seen any of these statements in your analysis of whether or not there was a impact or collision between the defendant and her Lexus and Mr. O'Keefe? Have you seen any of those?
I did see some statements, but that was after I rendered my opinion.
And some of those statements, after you rendered your opinion, did some of those statements come from the defendant herself?
Yes.
And when you listened to those statements, did you hear any of them talk about the idea or issue of collision or impact?
Yes.
And when you listened to those statements after you formed your opinions, did in any way, change the analysis of your opinion?
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why.
Please do.
Because the defendant had undergone a very stressful event, finding her loved one in the snow. And so after a stressful event, many people suffer from what's called an acute grief reaction. It's very common. And they do things that seem to be irrational. They ramble. They act bizarrely. They make statements that are irrational, that don't make sense. And they oftentimes tend to blame themselves for whatever has happened. I've seen this many, many, many times in the emergency department.
Does this happen moments after a stressful event?
Oh, yes.
Does it happen months later when you go on 2020 or Nightline?
I've never seen that situation.
Yeah, no. Does it happen a year later when you go and speak to documentarians and be interviewed? Is that the same kind of condition you see a year and a half later?
A grief reaction can last years. Mm-hmm. It usually is very brief, but it can last years.
Now, when you looked at the clothes in this case, Mr. O'Keefe's clothes, you are aware that those clothes were swabbed for DNA traces, weren't you?
Yes, I'm aware that some of the clothes were swabbed for DNA.
If we have Exhibit 147B, please. On the right arm, there were a number of different tears in that fabric that you looked at, weren't there?
Yes, there were a number of small round holes in that
You're
fabric.
Aware, aren't you, that those holes were swabbed for traces of dog DNA?
Okay, come on up.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify.